Good evening. Thanks for being here. I'm going to expand a little bit on what Carlos said and also tell you about how I come into this topic. Hopefully make it ever more complex. So tonight, gathered here are academics and activists, artists and theologians, some people of religious affinity and some people of none, some people of art affinity and probably some people who don't give a hoot, to explore the intersections of queer politics, spirituality, and social justice. Specifically, I'm looking for the tools of social change that are shared between queer politics and activism and queer spirituality. First, let me give a briefest bit of context for the uninitiated in queer theology. Queer theology emerged from liberation theology, which is an anti-imperialist, anti-colonial approach to talking about God and religion. And it's rooted in the experience of Latin American theologians and clergy who were rejecting a collusion of the Catholic Church and governments to oppress the poor. The most powerful component of liberation theology is an assertion of God's preference for the poor. Basically, that is, Jesus was in the human form of God was only found among the poor and oppressed. As liberation theology developed from its roots in Latin America, a queer theology evolved to accommodate the kinds of beliefs and practices and unique experiences of God among queer people. Queer theology requires exploring new metaphors to God to accommodate bodies and deviant sexual practices and community organizations of marginalized queer people, and also coalitions of those people. Theologian Marcela Atos Reed, who I'll reference a little later, asked her students to imagine a conversation about experiences of God in rituals between different groups of people. For example, an S&M community of straight people with a polyamorous community of transgender people. One of her most powerful images is an assertion that God is always found as a stranger at the gate of established orders. So God and experiences of God are always queer. On the ground, though, in the queer community, it's common to disavow religion and notions of gods and higher powers and other entities. The role of religion in society is, however, pervasive. Even those who reject religion may operate in reference to it. The interlocking forces of European-American religions and capitalism have shaped global society in ways that are inescapable. Even when among communities that reject religion, our entry into the global economy and social economies is predicated on adoption and adaption to the theological and political authority of Western, that is generally white, Christian, and competitive economic orientations. The currency of this global economy is the value system imposed by this Christianized society, which is identified by singular definitions of moral purity and proper regulation of bodies, economic activities, and resource competition. In her book, Queer God, written by Altus Reed, she wrote about this economy as a system of duplication of values. She explains it like this. In globalization processes, brands rely on duplication of the market spirit. And although they present the illusion of something mobile and changing through the constant introduction of variety for consumption, the value system which sustains them is in all cases identical. So I think that thinking of social and cultural systems as economic systems is helpful because they show the ways in which bodies are eliminated from that system, these systems. The economic system and theology it implies is a mirror to the historic and cultural narratives of European religion that authorizes and drives extraction of resources, labor, and ideas by imposing a global culture of competition and scarcity. And that history is what Carlos was talking about. The regulation of sexual activities then emerged as the primary mode of regulating bodies within European Christianities and the society's influence. So in this regulation of sex, sex and bodies are entered into a competitive marketplace where some are allowed to indulge and others must be deprived. If sex is authorized by a church-regulated social agreement, you can imagine how an unauthorized sexual orgy might destabilize an established order. Purity and holiness is a characteristic of religions as defined in ways that depend on its regulation of bodies. And Altos Reed described the outcome as a competitive economy of holiness through the duplication of sexual values. In her argument, queerness of holiness and the queer incidence of a revelation is reduced to social currency in the marketplace. So, when I choose to identify myself as a Christian, a preacher, a minister, a future pastor, how do I imagine a new Christianity with queerness as its ordering structure? Much has been written to discredit queer theory, and queer theology is a doomed fad of academia that has no real utility for social change. And sometimes that does ring true to me, because in my religious context, queer theology is too often reduced to a move that excuses the assigned sins to some people without actually disrupting the system by which they are assigned sin. Even worse, by adapting the competitive holiness model of the European Christianity, we've subverted the very power of queerness in society, which is the queerness of discovering those new revelations and new orders and new realities. So in trying to restructure or collapse the old narratives of things like heaven, and which Lynn is going to discuss, and holiness, we have to depart from them entirely. If you were to imagine a queer heaven, what would it be like? Would you even want to be there if there was such a thing? Tonight we approach these topics and questions from theology and art. Queer sexuality, bodies, and activism form that ground of queer art and spirituality, and to nurture new visions of society. If the root of queer theology gives holiness or revelation to the stranger at the gate, and that stranger is always a queer figure, I find that God and revelation must always be experienced in the queer, or that God and revelation is constituent of the queer. Queerness is always new, always deviant, always hiding in the shadows. And the invocation of queerness in worship or art or performance is that shape-shifting force of God that actually creates new realities of society. Thank you. So please...